Please open your Bible again at Hebrews 3, chapter 3 and the verse 4. Hebrews 3, verse 4. Every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. In our lower mainland, there is a building rush going on. I read some statistics this week that in Langley alone there is housing starts are up 200% from the same time last year. And that means that there is a great demand for builders and skilled workers of all kinds. Plumbers, electricians, carpenters, masons, landscapers, and obviously they must all be on the rush to try and keep up with the scale of building that's going on around us today. And almost anywhere you drive around here, you can see new construction going on. Well, I want us to consider a very special house which the Lord is building. It is called a house of mercy. Now, we can see that, of course, in all of creation, that God is the master builder. He is the great architect. And he is the one that builds far beyond any human production. We see his wisdom, power, perfection, and beauty in everything that we see around. And as we take that tangible evidence of God's building powers, and as we switch it to the spiritual, to the house of mercy that God is building, it is a most impressive construction, just as nature impresses us. The intricacies, the complexity, the beauty of creation that compels us to acknowledge the power and wisdom of God. We see that too in God building this house of mercy. Now, it is not just any house. It is not just any building, it is a house of mercy. It is even more than Ronald McDonald's house for orphans and for the homeless. That obviously is an act of mercy. And it is for the help of kids for a time and for those who have no parents. But this house is much more than mere philanthropy. It is more than just to help the body and the physical. It is the grace of God to the souls of men for all eternity. It is God's eternal house. Now, the description of this house, we must identify it as his church. Now, his church has two parts. There is the invisible, the universal, and then there is that which is local and tangible. Those physical bodies that come together in the house of God to congregate, to constitute the church of the living God here on earth. Now, there is the earthly house or work of God's mercy in saving each soul one by one. And they make up this visible church. During our lifetimes, we each build on that one foundation. And so, let us begin to look at this house of mercy that God is building. He is set before us here as the great master builder. And as you would consider your soul, as you would consider your eternity, you might well be asking, what about this house of mercy? What about this home, this eternal home that God is building for his people? Now, this is a house of mercy that is built on a foundation of mercy. And what I should impress you with here, first of all, is that everything about this house is mercy. Every aspect of it, whether it is underground, above ground, the very coping stones, the very outward appearance, the inward experience, it's all mercy from beginning to end. And what we see, firstly, is that the foundation itself is a foundation of mercy. Now, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3 and the verse 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So I want you to notice that it's the grace of God at work. Let me remind you that it is the covenant of grace. It is that eternal counsel and wisdom of God to save a people from the depths of sin and build them into His house, brick by brick, piece by piece, into this great house and building of God. It needs, therefore, a foundation. And verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And so, the Son is the foundation. He was the very linchpin of the whole project. And in God's scheme of grace, He said to His Son, "You are to become the Redeemer, Savior, sacrifice, and the embodiment of everything that I am going to do for my people, whom I will save out of the earth." And He was to be the center person of the very covenant of grace. He's the mediator, He's the middleman, He's the representative head, He's the second Adam, He is the surety of the covenant. Everything focuses on the person and work of our Lord Jesus. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:11 cannot get us away from Calvary. It cannot get us away from the foundation work that was laid on that cross. And this is the work upon which we, as part of the building, members of God's building, that we must fully build upon. If we're not on the right foundation, everything is going to crumble and lead to destruction. And from that work of redemption on the cross, you have our Lord Jesus paying the price for sin. You have Him becoming the propitiation, the satisfaction unto God, that the Father could say, "It is sufficient. The price is paid. I accept this offering." Not only for the family of God, but for each and every individual in the family. And so I trust that you are building on that foundation which is laid. Because as 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, there is no other foundation. For other foundation can no man lay. And of course this is the problem with man-made, man-centered religions. A religion of works. A religion of man's own thinking. It's another foundation which, this text says, cannot be laid. The only foundation that can be laid is the foundation of the Lord Jesus. And from that comes pardon, justification, covenant assurances, so that we're on the solid foundation. And in heaven now, our Lord Jesus, as the head of the church, is the ground, our foundation, of all our worship, of all our praying, of all our asking. And if we are rightly related to Him, building on this foundation, then we have access to God, we pray in His name, we rest on His merits, on His righteousness. Everything comes back to this foundation. It is the very first premise of our gospel faith, of our Christianity, of all that we will ever be in the sight of God, building on this foundation. And it's all mercy. And that's the point I want to really emphasize in this analogy today between the building an earthly house and the house of mercy. This foundation has been laid. God planned it. God the Son fulfilled and has given His own life and body and blood to be our Savior and foundation of our faith. The Holy Spirit has given us this revelation of truth that we might build on that foundation. Now, this is not an earthly institution. It is not a denomination. It's not a church. It is not the ceremonies of the church. This is the work of Calvary. It is the work of our Lord Jesus. And it is imperative that you build on that foundation. If you read on in 1 Corinthians 3, it goes on to talk about building otherwise on wood, hay, and stubble. Those things that burn up, that perish, that you cannot depend upon. Now, I want you to reason and think this through in your own experience of whatever your religion is. Can you truly say that your faith is in and only in what the Lord Jesus accomplished at the cross? Can you truly say that that is the bedrock, that's the foundation of all that I hope in? Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Is that your statement of personal faith? And have you gotten down on your knees and said, Lord Jesus, thank you for laying that foundation for me. Bring me onto that foundation. Bring me from the sinking sand of mere human nature and earthly experience and emotionalism. Bring me onto that solid rock foundation of Calvary. And make me a member of the Church of the Living God, building, settled on that foundation of great mercy. Now, there are many texts we could use to establish this foundation. But if you let 1 Corinthians 3:11 sink into your heart, just ponder it over. Other foundation can no man lay, whether he is guru or priest or prophet or any other religious leader. Christ Jesus is that one foundation. Now, we look then also at the materials. And we find out that the materials that God, as the master builder, uses also makes this to be a house of mercy. Now, nearly every builder, in his desire to work speedily and to produce good work, something that will be desirable to the home purchaser when his work is done, he will want to use the very best materials. He will want to use that which is well planed and of highest quality. Marble from Italy, mahogany from South America, or at least, if it's cheaper materials, at least that they are square, that they are easy to work with, and when everything is put together, they will look their proper part and place. Now, this is where God is singled out as a great master builder. Because God does something that no other builder does. God goes down to the landfill and He takes the material that others consider junk and cast away, and He brings and He produces a house that is square and beautiful and comfortable out of cast away pieces. Us. Sinners, ruined by the fall, twisted and contorted and ugly, out of shape. There is nothing of the holiness of the character of God remaining in us. And every soul that God takes is damaged by sin. And yet He takes the material of sinners. And all our variations and all our prejudices and bias and even our rebellion and enmity to God, and He takes castaways, even the devil's castaways, and He builds them into the house of mercy, into the building and framework of His church to make it a beautiful edifice. God takes what others reject, and He shows forth His glory and His great grace. Because if God went out into the world looking for the perfect man and the perfect woman and perfect souls to be members of His church, the church would never be built. Every one of us are ruined by the fall. Every one of us are shapeless, formless by nature. And there needs to be a miracle of grace to change and fashion and conform us into that image so that we are true members of the building that reflect the glory of the master builder. That is the honor of the builder. You'll notice if you go back to Hebrews 3 and verse 3, that he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. The builder gets the honor for the building. Well, in these days, of course, there's a lot of people involved in producing a building. There's the architect, and there's the quality controller, and there's the manager, and then there's all the various trades that are brought in. But this is analogy is more like the one person in responsible from beginning to end to produce this beautiful, perfect building. God, the wise master builder, looked on through eternity and He saw us in our sin. And He has gone down into the pit and into the very quarries of sin. And He has hewn us out of that rock of iniquity. Ugly pieces of rock in the hand of the master builder. And He went to work to make us to be honorable. And can you imagine the greater honor that is given to the builder because of this? If you had a show home somewhere around in our areas and everyone was driving by and going in, going ooh and ah and so on, it's beautiful. And then the announcement was made, every single piece came out of the landfill. Would you buy it? That'd be a question. On earthly terms, we would have concerns, wouldn't we? We'd have to get everything tested. Has it been contaminated? And you can imagine all the lab reports you'd have to go through to get every single piece tested. But God, in His great grace, takes raw, rugged, castaway souls and builds them into His church, purifies us, cleanses us, sanctifies us, makes us to be that bright, beaming, useful member of His church. And all the glory is His. He is merciful and gracious in so building His church. And for this, we ought to be worshippers of our Lord with great appreciation for what He has done. For as I think of me and you think of you, there was a time that we were just lying waste in a world heading for destruction. And God in His great mercy came and picked us up and built us into His church. That's mercy, my friend. That's mercy. Let us, from our hearts, offer praises of thanksgiving to this great master builder who would take such unworthy pieces of clay to honor His great name. This is amazing mercy. And then the workmen that God, the wise master builder, puts to work is also a display of great mercy, because God used skilled workers, the most outstanding workers that He could find. And of course, He made His own son to be a worker. He is the servant in the covenant of grace. This was a part of our Lord Jesus' humiliation. He who was God thought Himself not robbery to be equal with God, yet took upon Him the form of a servant. And in Isaiah 42, the Father refers to His Son as my servant. And He made His Son to be the worker in the scheme of grace to build His church because he needed one who was all wise, who was almighty, who had all power to redeem, and whose body, death, his blood, and his resurrection would bring forth a church that would demonstrate God's great power. A second Adam. A person who would replace the first Adam could only be found in our Lord Jesus, who took human nature and became our Savior and Redeemer. And so think of our Lord as the worker. And think of his earthly life. Think of his death. Think of his resurrection. And even now, he who is now the administrator of the covenant at God's right hand, he's working to build us into the church. Christ is the head over all things to the church. I trust he's working in your life. I trust there has been this great change in your life. And that you can say that truly the Son of God has revealed himself to me and has done this work in my heart and in my life. And the Lord also uses the Holy Spirit. The Son laid the foundation. It is the Holy Spirit's work to build upon that foundation and build the edifice and raise it from the ground up. And he is that cement. He is that who calls the pieces of materials, who cuts them into shape. He convicts us of our sins. He purifies our hearts. He cements the church together and polishes it in a beautiful edifice to the Father. The Father has called the greatest workers into this. Because, of course, sinners cannot shape themselves. And we know that if left to ourselves without the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts, we would become useless pieces of material in God's building. And there is the need in our lives for the ongoing work, this sanctifying work, this work of holiness, to make us useful, beautiful parts and members of that body. But more than that, God has used His Son, He uses His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. God also uses the redeemed of His church to build His church. Those who are called to preach mercy must themselves know mercy. And you know that the angels are not allowed to preach redemption because they themselves have never been redeemed. There's only two kind of angels. Angels that never sinned or angels that are in sin. They've never been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And God uses workers in the building of His church, people who know the power of redemption in their own lives. And those who enjoy the mercy of God are God's tools and workers to build His church. And down through the ages of the church of the Lord Jesus, God has always used, saved men and women, redeemed men and women, and called them to be living witnesses in the earth to bring others into His church. I wonder today, are you a willing worker? You have received mercy. You have received grace. You have been made a member in the church. Are you therefore now a worker to continue on this building? As long as the Lord gives us life, health, and strength, that we may be a part in building the Lord's great church. God also uses the holy angels in the building of His church. While angels cannot preach, yet they do protect and they guard the building. I noticed on a building site just a week or so ago that they had surveillance cameras. Or at least they had a sign. I didn't actually see the cameras, but they had this sign up that this site is protected by surveillance cameras. Now, sometimes they put up these signs just to scare people off that they're not really there. Sort of low-cost security measures. But many places that is required. And there are all kinds of theft from building sites. Indeed, homes that are almost ready for occupancy and appliances just disappear overnight. And so a building needs protection. God, in building His church, uses His angels to watch over us day and night. And not one of His redeemed member of the building of the church will go missing. Hallelujah. Not going to be stolen off by the devil in the midway of the process of building or before completion date. And in the Psalm 91, we are told that He giveth His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And so God puts His angels to work in the security measures that are required to keep the church of the Lord Jesus safe on earth. Because there is a holy war going on. A spiritual warfare. Read Romans, Ephesians 6. And there you read of this, the power of the princes of the power of the air. The evil forces of darkness. But also the Lord's hosts that go forth to guard and protect the church of the Lord Jesus. It's a great thing to be protected by grace and protected by the very power of the Lord. To know that we do have eternal security. And that when we have been washed by the blood, redeemed and sanctified by the Spirit, that we're not going to be just stolen off. There is this watching eye of God who protects. Now, we've seen that this is a house of mercy. It's merciful in the foundation, in the workers. It's also a house of mercy in its very design and purpose. It's not just to display skill. It's not just to show that God is the great wise master builder. A building that has no good purpose is never a wise building. Never a building that you can boast and brag about. It's a white elephant if it has not got a good purpose. And of course the purpose of this building of mercy is God will make it home for His people. The church visible will become one day the church invisible and eternal. The church militant here on earth with all our struggles and all the attacks against her and all the oppositions we face in this cursed world. One day the trumpet will blow. The Lord shall bring His church into the very glory to be amongst the just spirits made perfect in glory. Ah, the church will be our home. Now a home, of course, is only a home when there is sweet communion amongst the family. God has ordained and designed this home to be the place of His paradise amongst His people. It is His new Jerusalem. And just as when God dwelt in that temple of Solomon in all His glory amongst His people, there will be in the church of the Lord Jesus this glorious communion between God and His people. No need of the sun, because the Lord Jesus is the light thereof. It will be a tremendous communion. This is the purpose. This is the mercy in the purpose. This is the wisdom of it. It's not just that we have a little cabin on streets of gold. We have a home with our Heavenly Father. And everyone. This house is also an orphanage. And that makes it a house of mercy. God brings in those that are lost. God brings in those that are fatherless and need His saving, protecting, and gracious communion and fellowship. This is a design of great mercy. And one other thing. The everlasting, the unending nature of this building makes it a house of mercy. In this home there is no depreciation. Things never run down. never lose value. The church of the Lord Jesus cannot lose its value because it is the best investment that any soul can ever make. There's no downturn in material value because one soul is worth more than the whole. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And this will be the salvation and the eternal homestead of a great multitude of souls. What mercy! There is no entropy here. Some people think this is my buzzword for the year. The word entropy, that everything runs down. Earthly builders, they build beautiful homes, and 50 years later some people come along and tear them down. And what you think is your dream home, a couple of generations later someone will replace with something else. Corruption, rot, entropy, that buzzword, everything tends to run down. But this house in glory, it endures for all eternity. There's no depreciation. No corruption. We're to lay up treasure there because there's no rust, no moth to corrupt. This house will never fall down. It's built four square. It is that new Jerusalem that shall come down out of heaven. And there's no need for an insurance policy for this house. Not only are the angels watching over it, but in the Psalm 121, we're told, "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." It is a home that is eternally safe and eternally secure. We need such a home because we're dying creatures. Just walk around a graveyard for an hour and you get a little touch of reality. What you see in the housing boom around us is just a temporary phase for mortal men. Go to the graveyard to see reality. It's a sobering thing just to spend a little time walking around those gravestones. You see the year of birth, the year of death, a few little comments, the hopes, the dreams, they all end there in the soil. Is that all you have? Is that the only home that you're looking forward to? No, we have souls. And we need an eternal home. This world is but a little drama for a little time. It is that tension between good and evil. And God has created us with a moral nature able to make choices between good and evil. And we will choose that which is for God or that which is for darkness and destruction. Wisdom tells us to choose. To build upon this foundation that is laid, because to build on this life is just building on sand. It's going to shift, it's going to fail. And if you're not building on this gospel foundation, you need to see your folly. You need to see how temporary life is. Wind, storm, fire, judgment will all come and to destroy your temporary dreams. Outside of the gospel, there is only a temporary shelter from the sin and judgment of God upon it. It is this church of the Lord Jesus, and I'm speaking now of that invisible body of people that are built into this wise building of God. The covenant of grace, the foundation of which is the cross of Calvary and the sacrifice that was offered by an infinite Redeemer whose blood has the value of the blood of deity. That's what we must build upon. And this is a house of mercy because God has made very easy terms upon which we may enter such a home. I'm sure if you've driven around looking around at homes, you may have gone around this beautiful mansion, grounds all laid out, marble appearance on the exterior, and you just keep driving. Well, there's no point because I could never live there. Not a hope. You just keep driving. I need to be somewhere in the average of things for my pocketbook. But as you look into this beautiful home of glory, this mansion that our Father is building, this house made by our Lord Jesus, and this gathering of His people into this home, yes, you can be there. Because the term are the terms of grace. Not works, not your own payment. Don't mortgage yourself to death to dwell in this home. It is without money and without price. That's mercy, my friend. That's mercy.